Now, God, we pray that you would center us tonight as we go back into your word. We ask, God, that you would clear up the clutter from a hurried day and here and there and running all over the place, God. Just settle our spirits right now and help us to focus on what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tonight is actually our last Bible study till next year. Okay, we're off next week of Christmas. We're off that week, and then the week after Christmas, we're off. And it looks like we don't resume until July. Why am I keep saying? I've been saying July all day because I'm already tired of the cold, all right? Don't come back to July. No, come back January the 11th, it looks like, when we are resuming, okay? So we get our semester break, we call it, after tonight and tomorrow. All right? Okay, now, I need you all to help me so that I don't get carried away tonight. We have to be done at 8:30. Some of our children, including my daughter, they're singing tonight at Frelinghuysen Chorus, and I don't want to miss that, all right? So make sure I don't get past, okay. I go past 8:30. Sound is good, okay? So let's get rolling here. Real excited about the passage we have tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Verse 1. When the 7th month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man or one person in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So on the 1st day of the 7th month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. About 6 a.m. till noon. As he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him, on his right hand stood, and on his left were, okay, verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. I want you all to catch all of this. Just catch this. Open the book, all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord their God with their faces to the ground. The Levites instructed the people in the law. While the people were standing there, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Absolute wonderful passage. For me, one of my favorite passages in all of the Old Testament here. Everybody understands, we got to abbreviate this right here. Everyone understands what has happened in the book of Nehemiah up to chapter 8, right? You have, the walls are now rebuilt. Okay, the walls are rebuilt, and Nehemiah in chapter 7 puts guards around the walls to protect what has been rebuilt. Because the enemy does not go to sleep just because you are done with your project. Matter of fact, he gets even busier and tries to tear down what you have built. So, now, chapter 8. You tell me what's happening. What's happening in chapter 8? Just you don't even have to summarize all this. It's just all that you read here. But what's happening? What'd you say? The reestablishing the law. Yeah. Push that a little further. Why are they reestablishing the law? What'd you say? It's a guide as to what they should do from that point. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And what else? What's happening here?
Well,
I'm sorry, D.
I started to say that the people have been scattered all over.
Okay.
And they have married
other nations,
other people.
Uh-huh.
And they have brought in some of their religious beliefs and everything. So now we're trying to get everybody back to the original law.
Okay, trying to get everybody back to the original law. Okay. Anybody over here? Anything to say? Y'all a little sleepy over there. Anybody over here? Okay. Yes, sir.
They're setting themselves apart. They're cleansing themselves.
I like all these words. Being guided, they're cleansing. They're trying to get back to what they were. Why? How come the rebuilding of the walls wasn't enough, right? You have walls that are rebuilt. So that there's some stuff that needs to be rebuilt that's not visible. There's the invisible that needs to be rebuilt and reestablished. And what better way to do it than through the word? Oh God, y'all got to catch this tonight. That a people who had been scattered, and having been scattered around the world, you pick up whatever was where you were. Yeah, whatever you've been through and wherever you've been, you picked up some of that during the course of the week. You picked up some of that. And so they come as the people of God and gather with each other. As a moment, for them, this was a historic moment of consecration and cleansing. It was a historic moment of consecration and cleansing. The walls had been rebuilt, but you understand that something else needs to happen besides just the rebuilding of a structure, because you can take the people out of. We used to say out of the ghetto. But now you got to take the ghetto out of the people. Okay, yeah, for real. You can take them out of Babylon and all these other places. Now you got to get the Babylon out of them. Yep. And that's really this word here. And here we go going off on something. This is how it happens. This word, sanctification. This word sanctification means the cleansing and setting apart of the child of God for the purpose of God's use. It's the gradual setting apart. I'm being set apart. I'm being cleansed for God's use. And this is going way back now. This thing called sanctification, is it immediate or is it gradual? She said it's both. And actually, it is threefold. It's threefold. Okay, y'all. Okay, it's threefold. It's immediate, meaning the moment you say yes to Jesus Christ, He sets you apart. Okay? He sets you apart as His child. Then what was next? It's gradual in the sense that every day, even though He set me apart and named me as His child, there's still some things about me that don't match my identity. Maybe I'm the only one in here, right? Right. Anything about you that does not match your identity as a child of God? Yeah. Yeah. And so what God does is gradually He sets us apart. Okay? That's gradual. Third, what did you say? Permanent or ultimate. Permanent. I like that word too. Where you're permanently set apart, and that is when we get to heaven. Right. So this whole sanctification is very much like salvation. Okay, it's okay. What's happening here in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8 is that these people who have been everywhere now need to be consecrated or sanctified. The sanctification that they're going through now is a gradual sanctification. And what is the primary agent of sanctification? The Word of God is the primary agent of cleansing or sanctification. Let's cross-reference that. What's there? John 17:17. Look there for a moment, please. John 17. So if anybody from some other place or some other movement comes to ask you, well, are you sanctified? Yes. What's your response going to be? Yes. Blow them away. Tell them what? No. Give them something stronger than that. Tell them, well, yes, I am sanctified. Tell them I'm being sanctified and I will be sanctified. They will turn right around and go to the next house. They will. If you start talking like that, they'll say, all right, I came to the wrong place here. All right. Okay. I am sanctified. I'm being sanctified. And I will. Just based on them three things right there. Immediate, gradual, ultimate. Okay. What's John 17:17 say? Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The same word, sanctified, is the word for holy. Holy them. Holy them. Make them holy. And how does that happen? Through your word. Through truth. And your word is truth. Now, with that in mind, what's the other reference there? Turn there, John 15:3. Doesn't this kind of speak to we just said it's kind of in stages. John 15:3 says what about being cleansed or being sanctified? It's a present condition. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So the word I've spoken to you has made you clean. But what do you read in John 17:17 that we just read? What's the sense there? Yeah, that is something that's happening. Mm-hmm. It's something that each day it is happening. Now, if we say that the Word of God is God's primary agent of sanctifying us, what should be your relationship with the Word? I mean, if I, and all of us here agree that, first of all, does everyone understand what I'm saying? Okay. We've made it clear through the word that, we've made it clear here that we're sanctified in kind of three stages. Immediately, process, and then one day ultimately. The process occurs by what? The primary agent that God uses to sanctify us is the word. Okay, now, if that's true, then what kind of relationship do I need to have with the word if this is the primary source of cleansing and sanctification? What'd you say? Constant. I love it. Constant. Consistent. Why? Why do I need a consistent relationship with the word? What'd you say? This is what connects us. Staff relationship. Because of the temptation. Yeah, because, you look, just like the people of Israel were scattered in different places and then came together, so are we, in a sense, each time we leave here. Sometimes you don't have to leave. to get some residue on you. Right? And you need to be cleansed. So then, as my mentor says, people come to church. Oftentimes, I'm coming to church so I can be fed. But in addition to that, we need to come to take a good bath and be clean. Because that's the sanctification process each day that it happens through the word. Yes, John chapter 13, he's talking to Peter. So, if we say that the word is a primary agent, now, and let me ask you this. In terms of sanctifying us and working on our character, molding our character, is that God's only tool that he uses? What else does he use? Sometimes he can use people. Around you in fellowship can help mold and shape your character. And sometimes people don't even know that's what they're doing. I don't like anybody to try to do that. I'm going to hang around you to work on you. No, I'm going to hang around you because there's something about your character that needs to be worked on. No. You know, we're going to hang out. Let's hang out, all right? But it's just you being you and us being in fellowship. That's something God uses to help mold and shape our. Also, we don't have time to get into it, man. It's such a wonderful topic. God also uses experiences to sanctify us, to mold us and shape us. Because, honestly, there are some. Now, the word is powerful, and it can produce some of, and it can do a whole lot of stuff. Now, let me tell you this. The word is God's first. It's the first thing that God resorts to get me right. But he has some other things. In case I'm stubborn, stiff-necked, he has some other experiences to take me through in order to cleanse me. Have you ever washed dishes? Anybody ever wash dishes? You ever wash something that you just had food in for just a minute? Sometimes you can rinse that out. But something that's been in the refrigerator for a long time, you got to soak it. Sometimes you got to chip away at it. You got to scrub it. Right? Right. Well, there's some stuff that's in us that's been there a long time. And just a washing through the word won't always do it. Sometimes God has to get some stuff out and scrub it out, right? And sometimes you actually wonder, I'm going way off. You wonder sometimes why God takes you through certain experiences. Sometimes it's because there's some stuff in me that's been stuck there for so long, that's the only way he's going to get rid of it. He scrubs it. He cleanses us. Examples of that all throughout scripture, all throughout the word of God. Okay.
In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God. So it's the Word always.
It's always the Word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's always the Word. It's always the Word. I like it. I like it. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 8, who is the main character? Who's the main character? You don't have it in your Bible? Ezra. Who had been the main character? Uh-huh. Nehemiah rebuilt structures. Now you have this other brother who enters the picture, Ezra, who rebuilt souls. It's almost as though Nehemiah passes the baton on in chapter 8. And because the restoration of the situation is going to occur as a result of a team. Nehemiah could only do so much. He did what was his responsibility, his area of giftedness. He did that. When it came time for the people's lives to be changed through the word, this other brother by the name of Ezra enters the picture suddenly, chapter 8. Verse 1, all the people assembled as one person in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law. Now, let me ask you this. Who is this Ezra figure? Go to Ezra chapter 7, to the book of Ezra. Did you know there was a book of Ezra? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Do I have to do that in BTU? Okay, Ezra chapter 7, verse 1. Okay, I am not reading all these names tonight, all right? We just don't have time. Verse 1, after these things, during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of all these people, verse 6, okay, yeah, pick up verse 6. This Ezra came up from Babylon. Y'all hear me? Now, under whose reign did Ezra come up from Babylon? The same king who sent Nehemiah. You with me? This group came together. I don't know. Perhaps they weren't in the same crowd. I don't know. Maybe Nehemiah came a few days before. There's a whole lot of debate as to which one of these books was written first, Ezra or Nehemiah. As a matter of fact, in the original canon, the original Bible, the Old Testament, Hebrew scriptures, Ezra and Nehemiah is one book. It's a book called Ezra and Nehemiah. It's not Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay? And so Ezra was one of the exiled Israelites who came back to Jerusalem from where?
Babylon.
Okay? Keep reading. That's verse 6. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked for. He asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Okay? Actually, I think that is earlier than what Nehemiah came. I got to have to go back and date that. Ezra came back in the seventh year of Artaxerxes. Verse 8. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, And he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month. For the gracious hand of God, the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra, verse 10, had devoted himself to study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. See, totally off the lesson here. You got to prepare yourself before your opportunity comes. He studied. Matter of fact, you tell me, according to verse 10, what are the three things that Ezra did when it comes to the law? He studied it. He obeyed it. And taught it. When did he do this? Hold on. When did he do it? When he got to Jerusalem? While he was still in exile. You can't wait till you get to Jerusalem and your opportunity. Then you start getting yourself together. You got to get yourself together while you're in a place that doesn't make sense. Total, I don't know where this application is coming from, but I mean, in a place in life, in a season of life where you might, it might be considered exile. I mean, a place in life where, again, what you're going through doesn't seem to make sense because you are anxious. I'm anxious for my point or for my season of contribution. But before my season of contribution comes, there has to be the season of preparation. And you don't know where that might occur. And so if Ezra had waited till he got out of Babylon and got his opportunity to get to Jerusalem, he wouldn't have been prepared for his moment. Your moment sometimes finds you. You don't find it. And when it finds you, you have to be ready for it. I'm crying the blues because I don't have my opportunity. No, no. Wherever you are, even if it's in exile, you want to get to another level of ministry, of another level of working somewhere else, promotion, whatever it might be. Sometimes it has to find you. Yes. Okay. 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 Thank you. Now, let me say this. I won't even talk about it. I won't even talk about it because we won't have another opportunity, although I'm going to allude to this in one of our messages. How are these people blessed by this word? And how, I'll just name it. And you take this home and just match what I'm saying with the scripture references. Will you all do that? Okay. Okay. Listen. These people's lives are changed by the word, number one, because they are anxious to hear it. They're anxious to hear it. They tell Ezra, please come preach. Second, they are attentive to it. They just, they're attentive to it. And then, I couldn't think of another better word here for authority of the word. There's a certain authority that the word has for them, and it's demonstrated by the fact that the pulpit is elevated. The centrality of the word is over them. They stood over them. He stood over them. Then four here, they allied themselves with the preacher of the word. Brothers on the right, brothers on the left. We're not going to let you stand alone as you declare the word. We could take it all night long. And then they were active participants in the world. I mean, in the word, as the word was being preached, what was their response? Amen. Amen. That started a long time ago. Amen. And then the preacher made the word accessible by opening the book. That's the role of the preacher every time she stands, every time he stands, is to open up the book. All right. Take that outline home. Okay. And go back and forth with the scripture references. Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for even what we've learned on tonight. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for how you cleanse us through your word. Challenge us to expose ourselves to it as consistently as possible so that we might be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen.